Oil Reporter was an idea that we had come up with after the oil spill that would help enable normal citizens of the country to kind of rally together to help with the spill and see if we could get people on the ground to, you know, collaboratively help with the cleanup effort.
And this is one of these things where people can actually submit if they had information, or you're still getting information. I mean, everyone says the oil's, I guess, all disappeared, but you're still getting information, right?
Absolutely. And really, the whole idea was this idea of empowering people through something called crowdsourcing. So this idea of, you know, people, you know, not paying them, but going out on their own regard to help with, you know, some sort of philanthropy type effort like this. So, you know, people grab their cell phones and they download the app and they go out there and start, you know, shooting pictures. It's a great thing.
Talk to us a little bit about how this actually works.
What you would do is you would go to the iTunes store and you would download the iPhone app called the Oil Reporter. You install it to your phone, and then that's pretty much all you need to do. You just go out to the beach or wherever you're spotting oil, and you start submitting photos. You enter some basic information about what you're seeing, how bad is the oil, is any wildlife affected in the area, that sort of thing. Just a few couple questions to kind of give anybody, you know, an idea of what's happening in that area. And then you just simply submit it. And so that information gets submitted into an open database. And it also picks up your latitude and longitude, so we know exactly where that information is coming from.
And I'm assuming that's how you deal with potentially false claims?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is all this is geotagged, so you know where the person is actually sending something from.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we've done is we've taken that and gone a little bit further. So, you know, we've built a couple of, you know, map applications on the site where people can visually get an idea of what's happening on the ground. And so we've set different filters in there. So, you know, people can't submit things from, you know, from Asia or Africa,
right,
or that sort of thing.
Or Washington,
yeah.
And who uses this data? Once it's all collected, what happens with it then?
There's a number of different organizations that have come to us. The National Wildlife Federation has come to us. San Diego State University has come to us. They've expressed interest in wanting to take the data and, you know, create, you know, basically an archive where, you know, they can do certain things by manipulating the data, such as, you know, visualizations, that sort of thing. We've had a number of different people interested in, you know, taking the data and assembling it together to create, you know, basically kind of a map of, you know, what places are affected and what places aren't affected, which, you know, would seem to be helpful, you know, down the line once the oil is starting to clear up a little bit. So we can see if there's any sort of substantial implications of that sort of thing.
And our audience, which are mostly government folks, it seems like this information would also be helpful to government agencies who are looking to respond to the crisis.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from an auditing perspective, you've got people on the ground, you know, doing that sort of thing. So the whole idea is to marry technology with, you know, real life crisis situations. And that's what we're trying to do is marry the two together. And we feel like by doing that, we can not only become more, you know, technical and smart with what we're doing, but we can also quantify and qualify the information that's coming in. So, we're getting rid of, you know, false claims and that sort of thing. I mean, data is data, right?
So, yeah. And this was developed a little bit in sense of this crisis commons, because we've seen this in Haiti and other places, these kinds where people build these platforms and people all of a sudden start sharing this information.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so in Tridia, the company I work for, the first effort that we took on this year was after the Haiti earthquake, and this group called Crisis Commons out of Washington D.C. approached us and said, "Listen, you know, it'd be really helpful. We're trying to get a bunch of companies and people that are talented when it comes to technical and programming, that sort of thing, to create an application. You know, time is of the essence, of course, because of the earthquake. So they created the Crisis Camp Weekend, right, where people came together, and that's kind of where how everything formed. And from that, you know, we gave birth to basically our first application, which was a Creole to English, English to Creole translation application where people could use it both offline and online on the ground in Haiti.
And it was, and from what I understand from folks who were down there and used the app, it was pretty helpful.
Yeah, it was. I mean, just a simple, again, simple idea. You know, you've got a problem, and there's an immediate need for it. How can we help? And marrying, again, you know, something that's technical with something, you know, in a real life situation like that. So, we believe that there's lots of opportunity. You know, it's unfortunate, but crisis, you know, does happen, and not even crisis. I mean, you look at just normal things that happen around the country every day, like graffiti and just normal things like potholes and things that are wanting to, you know, the community to you know, voice themselves. There's things that, you know, we can do from a technical perspective to bring those things to light. So we're hoping to achieve that through some of these efforts.
I got to tell you, if you go to oilreporter.org, one of my favorite parts is the pop-up screen that comes up first of all, and it says, know that all data reported on Oil Reporter is public, and it reinforces this is very public and points people to the privacy policy. Do people sometimes almost forget that public data is public?
I think so. I think, you know, what we've tried to do all along in Crisis Commons was really good about voicing it as well, because they're all for transparency, and we are as well, is, you know, what's happening with this data, right? So if people are going out there and spending, you know, their time on doing this, where is it going, right? So are we, you know, are we benefiting a business, or are we actually benefiting a cause? So that's the point is, you know, with, you know, reinstating that on the website and through the mobile device, you'll see that as well, is that this is open data. It's all about transparency. It's all about helping each other, helping the community, helping, you know, our world, of course. So I think that's very important.